Good morning and welcome to 101.9, your favorite station, Chai FM. The time is now 9 and 10 minutes. The clock is ticking. The day today is the 13th day of the month of June. Believe it or not, we've got with us in the studio, really a great guy. I actually didn't know him, he's himself, because I was in one of his shows and he really, really struck me great. His name is Harry Syriadopoulos.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sure you're going to recognize the voice from 94.7 from Jerry Mansfield.
I've been on this radio station many times.
Were you?
Many times.
In the old one or the new one?
The new one. I was here with Howard Feldman. I've been interviewed by quite a few people on this radio. I've done even a kiddie show. They asked me to come.
Really?
Yes. So I'm a, your community is a very dear one to me.
So you got a new fan, me. You got a new fan because it was really, really a great show. It was by mistake. My wife bought the ticket. I just went
with
her.
Which show was this? Would you explain?
His show. It was in the Killarney.
The Killarney Country Club. It's my new comedy. Seriously.
It was a serious comedy.
Seriously?
No, it was really, really great. A proper comedy, a proper, I didn't know the guy is so theatrical. He is theatrical. He is amazing. He's really good. We've got with us as well Peter Feldman, you know, blogger and South Africa's best movie critic.
Thank you, Roy. And more than that. And more than that. Peter Feldman has reviewed work from the early days of my career, the days when people, can I say it? The days when reviewers and critics had at least 900 brain cells, unlike today. I'm saying it.
He was
an influencer before people were influencers.
Or it was the N-word.
Yes.
Thanks, Harry.
The what word?
The N-word. You know?
The N-word. I thought you said the N-word. No, all right. No, it's fine.
I've never met an influencer until I met a couple and I said, what are they? They're influencers. I said, what do they do? They influence.
Peter, it drives me crazy. There's a 24-year-old with 200,000 followers. What do you do? He's an influencer. He'll sell out your show. And I go, if I am relying on a 24-year-old to sell out my show, whose only reference to you two is as a WhatsApp abbreviation, I don't know, then life is very dark. Life is very dark.
We also have with us Moshe. Moshe Stavrogat. How are you doing, Moshe?
Good morning. Very well, yes.
Moshe is basically an antique.
An antique?
He's old. I mean, he's an antique. That's it.
Peter's
an antique too. Peter, well, you and Moshe can be an exhibit in the museum. Both of you. You're still walking and talking? I mean, it's a big thing. For not people. Am I right? I mean, for somebody born, I mean, borderline with Jesus, basically walk together to the crash.
I'm not saying a word.
You can say Moshe's been my friend for many years, for at least 31 years.
Yeah.
31 years.
Well, as I arrived at the studio, Moshe says to me, I know you. And I said, I know you too, but I don't know from where he goes. Wait. And he pulls out his phone and he shows me a picture from 2002.
He doesn't remember what he had yesterday, but he remembers what happened.
We were dancing the tango. All right. In 2002, somewhere in, I can't remember where. It was some dance competition. Bailamos, I think it was called. Was that right?
Bailamos was already Peter Place. It was the Broadway.
I was a Broadway. That's right. And I go, my, 2002. Nothing has changed. Just white hair. And a waistline, yeah, I get it.
Nothing wrong with the waistlines. There's something that we can move. And I must say, your show, has been quite, you say it as it is, you say it in a funny way, but if you read between the lines, what do you say?
You know what, I decided to put the show together because I feel that the world right now is as extraordinary as technology is, as extraordinary as, you know, social media, it brings people together, it creates global communication, all the amazing things that technology does. We've just never been so disconnected as a human race.
100% from each other.
And I'm looking at kids, I mean, I was at a bar mitzvah a couple of weeks ago, and all the kids were sitting in a row on their phone, talking to each other, but on the phone. So I decided that I wanted to put a show together where we explore this new way of being, this new way of living, the lunacy of this world.
And he really explores very nice. And I recommend you guys to go. Where's the next show?
It's at the Killarney. So tonight we've got four.
Oh, you're still back in the Killarney.
Tonight, tomorrow and Saturday is at 8 o'clock. And then on Sunday is our last show. At 2 o'clock, it's a Father's Day show, and they can buy tickets either at the door or at quicket.co.za. And we decided to put a show together at this venue because I wanted it central. Theaters, there aren't many theaters in town that serve my needs. And I wanted to create a space where you can come and you can have all my street food, which is on sale, and you can have, you can sit somewhere afterwards. It doesn't feel like they're throwing you out. It's a place where you can come and spend an evening.
It's really nice.
In the streets.
This is food from the street. It's my street food. It's my Greek.
I haven't had food.
So it's all the, it's all my recipes.
Souvlaki.
It's souvlaki. It's meze, but we've turned it into like my spinach pies, my cheese pies. We've got beautiful soups, butternut soups.
Where? When I went there, I haven't
seen it. It's in the foyer.
No, it doesn't look in the foyer.
It's in the foyer. It's in the foyer. So I wanted to create something that was not you just go in and get out. I wanted people to come and they have. They're coming before the show and after the show and they're sitting and they're having drinks. Beautiful coffee. I'm tired of shitty coffee. You know, it's 2017. Yeah,
you're gonna enjoy America so much.
No. I know America. It's horrible coffee. Yeah. And trying to get olive oil in America, it's very hard unless you're in New York.
Unless it's virgin oil.
So I put the show together for a fun night out.
I wanted to ask you something.
Yes.
Yeah. You're still young, but I remember the days when I met a girl, and exactly, just in respect to your show,
yes.
When I met a girl, you know, on the beach, and you talk to her, and you say, oh, can I have your number? Eventually she gives you a number, and then you have to call home, and then you go to the screening of, hello, who's there?
Yes.
My name is Roy. Yes, what do you want? Can I speak to Rochale? Whatever.
Isabel.
Isabel. Why do you want to speak to her? That's the one question, right? No, Ajah, I'm a friend. Where did you meet her? In the beach. Were you in the beach, Isabel? That kind of, how difficult it was. Today is just a semester.
Yes.
Can we hang out? Okay.
And not only that, entire relationships are forged online. There are people going, my boyfriend or my girlfriend, and you go, have you met them? They go, no, they live, she's very happy. She lives in Peru.
There's been a couple of movies, Harry.
Yes.
Where they meet online and they meet these people and they're murderers.
Yes.
And you know, they're the fake images and the fake background they give you.
Absolutely.
It's so worrying today, you know, when you've got young people on the internet and they really don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's on the other end, Roy. You're right.
Yeah. They haven't got friends, you know. When we brought up, we had friends. Today, you got a friend on a WhatsApp.
You got a friend
today. You don't know who's your friend.
It's this that I wanted to write about because I feel like my father. I'm 45 years old and I'm going, oh, what is this world coming to? I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, what the? And I wanted to put something together that challenges that and that challenges the concept of a curated life, because online we create these curated lives where it's the world. It's how happy I'm married, my children, the bar me or the Greek baptism, and we're sitting on the beach and we're doing, and it's this life that is a fictitious, carefully curated life.
It's within a lie. It's something you create.
It's a life within
you
a life.
You create it for people to see, and it's not really you.
It's not you. And what happens is we fall in love with these people that
we
create.
Image, that's not them. They're taking an image of a beautiful model, and you think, whoa, I'm talking to them. When in real life, you're speaking to a 92-year-old guy sitting in an attic who's getting all hot.
I was we went away to Dullstroom a couple of months
ago.
And I love Dullstroom. And we had the most glorious day. It was a beautiful, hot weekend. And the weather was perfect. And it was a friend of ours' birthday. Yes. And on that Sunday, we got up and we made a breakfast. And it was just too... She spent the whole time, and I've told her this, so, you know, even if she hears this. We spent the whole day with her responding to all her Facebook messages. Just going, having the time of my life, I'm in Dullstroom. And I said to her, can you not respond later tonight? We are here in Dullstroom having a glorious time. So I'm worried about the way we communicate and the way that we don't communicate. And like what I do is I take comedy, I take serious issues, and I make comedy out of them, and I tell a story. This show is a very different show because I'm a lot more vulnerable on the stage, and I've created a very different Harry that has moved very far away from the self-deprecating stuff. And it's, if I may say so, it's intelligent writing. Stratokopteros, who also wrote the
very, very intelligent writing. I can put my.
It's not clever for the sake of being clever. We wanted to up the stakes.
Yeah. Everybody can look at themselves
so
after the...
Also, you know, it's very easy to get a cheap laugh. You know, yes. I know how to do that. Yeah. You know, I do it at my corporate events. Mm. But I wanted to do a show that could stand internationally. Mm. And that's the important thing about the show because it goes overseas in December. And I'm very proud of it. And I'm very proud of the South African talent that's been part of... First of all, your own Gina Schmuckler from your community. I mean, the woman is... I mean, she took a script and she kept looking at the screen. Should we do it like this? Should we do it like that? And I'm going, where do you come up with these in your head? Beverly Cook Tonneson, who's a Durban-based writer, contributed together with Strato Kopteros to write the script with me. My stage manager, Adam Pelkovitz, who's also been...
I know Adam, yeah.
Who's also been responsible for all the artwork and all the filming that's happened for the campaign. So we've had so much fun putting the campaign together, the photo shoots, the videos, because that's the great thing about social media, that now I've got a platform to be able to showcase in our own creative way whatever it is that we want. But it's a show that I feel people need to see because we are losing touch. And the irony is that I have sat in shows where people are filming and recording and taking selfies of themselves in the theater whilst I'm performing. They're taking selfies of themselves, turning the camera so that they can see me in the background. It's astounding.
That's what I wanted to mention about how many times I go to the theater and you've got people sitting in front of you, especially these show busy shows, not serious theater, Roy, but where you've got where they encourage you so they can advertise it, and you've got the whole front row sitting there with their selfies and with their cell phones taking. How can you enjoy it? They are watching it through their cell phones.
That's exactly the point. You know what? I remember myself watching. I was in Wembley when Queen performed, and that was one of the highlights of my life. I think. I mean, this is something amazing. So. I was there, I was a 17-year-old, you know, still a baby. And looking at it today, most of the people were standing there with their iPhones, with their cell phones, and picturing or taking photos of, or filming that show, which is, you know, I've got it in my memory, and it's nothing clearer than
that.
I enjoyed it really myself, not my cell phone, not my followers. Me, I enjoyed it myself.
Roy, when you were 17, did they have those phones? Were their phones?
No.
Kids?
No. And I can imagine myself.
You can imagine if that was happening. Yeah. You know what? Does anybody watch those? Because the reality is once you film it, do you actually sit and
watch? No, you don't.
All right.
But you spend your time, instead of enjoying the show, filming it.
You're so right.
There's an amazing singer, a Greek singer. She's one of the old school ladies. And she has banned phones from her concert.
What's her name?
Her name is Tania Tsanaklidou.
Yes.
She's like the Greek Edith Piaf. She's in her mid-60s. She said, "You are not allowing me to give you the best of me. I cannot have cameras." But now, because she's a big star, of course she can do that. So there are no cameras in the show. She says, "I cannot give you my best. You looking at me through a screen and me looking at you through your screen. I'm not doing it." And of course, that's all over social media. And she says, "I don't want it." And I've seen, and you know what's interesting, guys, is I'm backstage. Now I've put the phone off. Because you know what? Because I also produce the show.
Yeah.
Sometimes they might need to let me know about something or if there's a problem in the front.
But it throws you off.
But no, I'm talking about before the show starts.
So
I used to always have my phone on in case there was an emergency and my staff in front needed to get hold of me. I've now stopped it because I saw a Facebook post a couple of days ago. In Harry Sideropoulos pop-up theater, Killarney Country Club. Let's see if he's going to impress me. And you read this stuff before the show.
It throws
you
off. Yeah.
First of all, it throws you off. And the sense of, you know what, everyone has found a bullhorn for their and are using it.
Do you read reviews and do you take your reviews seriously?
It depends on who it comes from.
Okay.
That's the bottom line. If it comes from someone whom I respect, absolutely. Because you know what? I take myself seriously. I take my work seriously. I don't take myself seriously. But I'm also the first one at 45. It's beautiful being of a certain age. You realize and you go, okay. No, he's right about that. Or, okay, we could look at that. I'm not one of those that goes, screw, you know, damn him. I'm using terrible words. I'm able to take the good and say, okay, this is a very valid point. But it depends who it comes from. And that is why I've also stopped inviting, you know, all these people that now have got a Facebook site and an Instagram site and they're influencers and they do and they go. And I kind of think, why am I must invite you because why? What gravitas have you got to be able to make, first of all, as a movie? One of them said, "I wasn't very impressed with Meryl Streep's new movie, the one with Tom Hanks about the post." Nothing.
That was a great movie.
At 24 years old, you can barely brush your teeth, and now you're going to give me your opinion So I don't mind, and of course the youth has opinion, and of course they do, and of course they're open-minded, and of course they push boundaries, and we need youth, but you've also got to earn some stripes.
And you've got to have a reference. I mean, I read a review the other day, the guy said, I don't remember, I wasn't born when this happened.
Yes,
it doesn't matter. I wasn't born when the Second World War was on, but no, I know about it.
But you know about it. Points of reference. So now you don't need, now it's about being a star, and we are living in the world of the Kardashians, and children and people are living the Kardashian life. Let me tell you, Greek and Jewish community, I have seen them, whether it's at Barmies or at Greek baptisms, it's the Kardashian life.
Did you ever see the Greek movie? Not yes. The Greek movie.
No, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes. Oh, and then there was an Indian movie.
The Indian version of it.
The Candy Sami.
Yes. Yes.
Guys, I have to stop you there just for a few minutes. We're going to go. We've got advertised a little bit, and we've got a nice song, I hope. And I think it's going to be very nice. And guys...
So this Jewish mother went into a very prestige shop and she bought two ties for her son. And one of the time the son came for a visit and he decided to surprise his mom. And he wore one of the ties. As he walks in, she's looking at me. So I understand you don't like the other one, huh?
Drunken wino was going down the street. One foot on the road, the other foot in the gutter. The cop stood next to him and says, you know, I've got to take you in, sir. You're obviously drunk. The wasted guy says to him, officer, are you absolutely sure I'm drunk? He says, yeah, buddy, I'm sure you're drunk. He says, ooh, what a relief. I thought I'm crippled. And we're back. Thank you for staying with us. Time is now 9:31 minutes. Well, and we've got the advertiser. Yes, yeah, Peter Feldman.
We've
got
a message from Chai FM. In these challenging times, many people are under pressure, and for some, it can all become too much. Who does one turn to? Chai FM will be starting a helpline later this year, and we are looking for compassionate, caring volunteers to train as call center counselors. If you have a background or an interest in counseling and you want to find out more, email helpline@chaifm.com. I'll repeat it, helpline@chaifm.com. Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of serving the community.
Oh, thank you so much, Peter. And we're back here with Harry. Harry, so we had a heated discussion here in the studio while we were on break, and we were talking about we're not going to say nothing about the sex talk we had,
yeah.
But not because it's
I wasn't
it's
there. I was drinking my coffee. I don't know what happened when
is
I
that
walked
what happened?
Out.
I'm telling
is
you,
that what happened?
Those comedians, I'm telling you, yeah. I can't be. You can be honest with our listeners. We had the big especially Peter Feldman illustrate how he did that sex thing.
What sex thing?
You see,
was I in the room? Did this happen?
Everybody,
was I in the room?
Everybody yeah, you know, is getting so.
There's a running gag line with Roy and Liel and the other guys. I toured with Queen for 2 weeks
yes.
in Europe,
yes. And since then he sits funny.
And I got to know Freddie Mercury the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
And ever since then, whenever Roy speaks about Freddie Mercury, and he loves Freddie Mercury,
loves
the music
proper.
Of Queen. Proper.
Yes.
And as he said earlier on, he saw Queen. And there's always this standing joke of what happened with Freddie Mercury and me.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Nothing.
Well, no one needs to know that that happened.
Exactly.
You've got to read the book.
You'll tell more of a story.
Well, you see, I had to sign a contract. I had to sign, yes, a confidential thing, which is still binding, believe me.
No,
what?
It can't
be binding.
Yes,
it's binding after
yes,
all these years.
Yes, yes, yes. Jim Beach made me sign it just before I went overseas.
Okay, well, I mean, once we go to ad breaks, you'll chat to me. I won't
we'll
tell
chat,
a word.
We'll tell everybody.
I won't tell
you'll
word.
Put it on. Hey, Roy. Roy wants to know.
I want to know.
I love Queen.
I think Carla wants to know, too.
Queen ahead of their time. Just a band ahead of their time. And you know what's interesting?
Big time.
Talking now about Queen is that... people and producers weren't believing in their music because they were, you know, they were doing something different. And I find in Joburg sometimes, most of the times, unless it's tried and tested, to get people to buy into it, whether it's an audience or whether it's a corporate or a sponsor, it's really hard. So for me, it was so interesting approaching, you know, all our sponsors, proposed sponsors, about this idea of a pop-up.
Yeah.
And they were going, huh?
What's a pop-up?
And then you explain and you've got drawings because you show them. And then you invite them to the show and they see what we've created and they go, oh, I thought it was going to have plastic chairs. And I'm going, for God's sake, I have a career of 21 years behind me. Am I going to give you a plastic chair? You know, and it's a problem. It's a problem that unless it comes from America, it's tried and tested.
You're taking it too far. Yeah. We go to chain restaurants because it's tested. because everybody goes there.
No, I can't bear
it. You go to the same restaurant. We go to the same restaurant because we're happy with the food. We skip to go to the next door restaurant because we might just had a crappy meal, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're talking about new ideas.
Yeah, it's very hard because when you want to push, my best story is Madame Zangara.
Yes.
When Madame Zangara first started, they approached Monte Cassino, and Monte Cassino was too scared. They went, no. So they went to Melrose, and it sold out at Melrose.
Yeah.
And once it sold out, then, you know, then the big ones bought it. So that is frustrating when you want to do something new. And, you know, I go overseas and it's the biggest bane of my life. I perform overseas and I sell out and they don't even know me. And in my own town, to move those tickets is, I think giving birth to triplets is easier.
Yeah. Harry, you're also hot on cooking.
Yes.
So whatever, you've got a cooking book out? You think?
No, I don't have a cook. We work on a cooking book. So I love cooking and I love food and I love marrying the two. So we've started this concept called boutique dining, where we create these dining experiences with storytelling and stories pertaining to food. And it has done exceptionally well because I like that intimacy. You know, we've done it up to about 70. I mean, we've done it for 300 people, but I didn't enjoy it. I mean, up to 70 is the perfect number. And I love it. And so when I go to Toronto now, for 2 weeks, we are also doing the boutique dining.
Wow.
So that's why I've also done the pop-up. I want to marry a night out of entertainment. Entertainment, food, sitting in, as we say in Afrikaans, catering with your friends. Sitting and having a good time chatting with your friends.
So it is very similar to the Come Dine With Me.
No, the Come Dine With Me that I did that for charity. My God, that was 6 years ago. I think they air it 3 times a week still. It's that kind of experience, but the only difference is that the show is more, it feels like you're in my lounge. It's been designed in such a way where you feel like you've come into my home. So the stories and the pictures and there's interesting photo albums that we've designed and created specifically for the experience. So you literally feel like you're coming into my home. And we stage these around Johannesburg and then 3 or 4 times a year we open it to the public. The rest is corporates. And then we're also getting ready for a new show, which will be after I come back from overseas, end of next year, where it is open to the public, where we do a full-on Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, starter, main, dessert, and each starter and each main and each dessert has a story associated to the making of a dish.
Oh,
and the love story.
Is it all in the Greek?
No, nothing
to do with Greek. South African?
No, it's real stories. It's real stories.
No, but your food.
The food is Mediterranean food.
Mediterranean
food. You know, you speak to me that your roots are Spanish.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is an amazing story that I discovered when I was in Athens for 5 months, 2 years ago. This woman that fell in love with a Spanish man in the start of World War II. And then they lost track. And through social media, at age 71, he finds her. His wife had passed away. She never married. And at 74, they got married.
Phew.
So, I mean, I sat listening to the story and I was so moved by it.
Yeah, poor guy.
That I took that, I took, I recorded her with a story and I went, this is a 25 minute piece to open up one of the meals. So how we use the story, because food is about love, isn't it? That's what we do. I mean, for me, food is about love.
100%.
I show you my love by cooking for you, right? So, I take all of that stuff and I marry it together. And I like that. And that's why I think for me it's a challenge sometimes going back to just normal theater, because I want people to come and go, it was delicious and a great show and somewhere to sit with couches. And so I want to create that. And I'm hoping that in the next, probably the next 2 years or so, I want my own space, which is not a restaurant. It is, it's like a little boîte. In France, they used to have them boîte. It means a little box, a little intimate space, which is beautiful.
One table, 8 chairs, and you cook for them.
And I cook, and I love it. You know what? It de-stresses me, and I remember my aunt in Greece. I said to her, we were trying to make this one dish, and I followed that recipe to the T. And guys, it just didn't taste the same.
For sure, because they always miss one ingredient.
So I said to her, did you miss something? She goes, in Greek, she says, I'm not always going to say it in Greek, but she says, "Chaydepsis the gatsarola." Chaydepsis the gatsarola means, "Did you caress the pot?" And I said, what do you mean, do I caress? She says, when you cook, she says, you have to caress the pot because that's how you put your love into the pot. And I watched this like 85-year-old woman and I went, oh my God, I need to write this. So I filmed her on my phone. Yes. And from that came these stories and the birth of cooking and cooking is you know Jewish, Israeli, Greek. My God, you know, we eat food, we break bread. It's all about that.
Yes. Harry, you know, that's the difference between a cook and a chef.
Yes,
a cook is cooks, a chef is a creative person, and he does something. Then, and that's where you come into. If you love it, you create something.
I create, you know what, I will never say that I'm a chef because I've not studied that. You know, if you give me 50 ingredients, it doesn't mean that I'm going to give you a decent meal. But I do know the Mediterranean world, and I love playing with my food. So I want to take a Greek moussaka or a pasticcio or a baklava and create something. You know what I mean? And that's what I love doing. And I love it when people...
What is the dish you love the most?
Guys, you're going to be very disappointed when I tell you.
Leftico.
You're going to be so disappointed if I tell you that if there was a thing called, if I was at the pearly gates waiting to go to heaven,
yeah.
I'm not sure about that,
yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
And they said to me, what is your last meal? Do not judge me. Guys, spaghetti bolognese with parmesan. Don't judge me. Like, and you know why? Because it's my comfort meal. My mom used to make it coming back from school.
Wow.
So I think that's, you know, everyone says, what do you want to eat? Because I love Thai food. I love Indian food. You know,
you're Greek and you like Italian food.
But I love a spaghetti bolognese. I love it. You know,
tell me, Abel, what do you like cooking the most?
I love cooking
because people will give you the most. What a beautiful meal! What do you love cooking?
Because I love making pies with homemade crust,
really?
And homemade puff pastry and homemade filo. And then I create I put pecorino, feta cheese, mozzarella, and then I'll take slivers of fresh pepper juice and I'll take fresh mint, roasted pine nuts with a drizzle of honey. So I like playing like that. So that I want people to leave my house and go, Harry, I want to do unspeakable things to you. I want that. I want, because that's for me. Food, thank God, is still something that unites us. And, you know, we break bread.
You can make already. Roy is hungry already. Yes. The way you talk.
And I must say, I make a lamb kleftico, and I've also made a kosher lamb, because I know that the lamb can't be, it can't be from the leg of lamb, because that's not kosher.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I've learned all that. I have made a lamb kleftico, and the secret to good Greek meat is, there's no sauces. It is thyme in the oven. It's just thyme. It's lemon, olive oil, oregano, fresh rosemary, garlic, a little bit of olive oil. And in the oven. And leave it there for 9 hours, depending on how strong your oven is. 9 hours covered. And then I promise you take that foil off, and it literally falls off the bone.
That's great.
It falls off the bone.
Beautiful.
Yeah, some kleftico. It's really kleftico or...
You know what kleftico means? So kleftico means to steal. All right. So kleftico actually means stolen. So it has two reasons for it. One is because it was stolen. All right. They used to steal,
the lamb.
Mm-hmm. And who stole it? The kleftas. The kleftas are thieves. Thieves in Greek during the Ottoman occupation of Greece.
So these Jewish mother
were the revolutionaries, the Che Guevaras. Let's call it that way.
Yeah.
And they would hide up in the mountain fighting the Turks. So they would steal the lamb and then they would make it underground so that you wouldn't be able to see the flame. So that it was called kleftico because A, it was stolen, and B, it was originally created by the kleftas, the thieves.
Yeah, thieves, yeah. Yeah.
So it's not that when you see a goat jumping on three legs, it's not that they take one leg, eat it in the meantime.
No, Roy!
Harry, have you been any in movies? Have you done any special
I've
spots?
I've done some appearances, nothing huge. And can I be honest with you? I had a time of my life. I really enjoyed it, but I love live.
I was going to say,
I love live.
You wake up every morning with a positive.
It's got a very
energy.
Nice energy, I must say.
I love
even on
live.
Stage, like
you know what? For me, looking at an audience last night, there was a Jewish woman in the front row. I could tell because her husband had a yarmie, right? And she was laughing so hard that at some point she hits her husband on the stomach like this,
yeah.
And she could barely breathe. And you can't get that in a movie.
No.
I love seeing that. I love seeing an audience moved. I love being able to connect with
There's something
audience.
Amazing in
that live interaction we don't have.
Tell me, you work from a script or is it spontaneous?
No, it's all a script.
All scripted.
It's all
You don't
scripted.
Deviate at any stage?
Are you crazy with a 45-year-old brain? If I deviate, I'm lost.
Interesting.
So there are moments where you can play a little bit.
Yes.
But because my show is, you know, people don't know where to classify it. It has a style of stand-up. But it's not. It's theatrical.
It's theatrical, 100%. Right. I told you. Very theatrical.
There are key points. There are words where there's a light cue or a sound cue. If I don't hit that cue, the light doesn't happen or the sound cue doesn't happen. So it is a 19-page script at 11 Calibri font, which is small, all right? And learning it was, it took me, guys, forever to learn the script.
Can I ask you a question? Let's say you're at the stage and you got the script and you see it doesn't relate to the audience. Don't you change into stand-up comedy straight away?
No. Because you see, I'm not a stand-up comedian. I'm not a stand-up comedian. I'm an actor who uses this genre, this format to tell a story. So the story is about the lunacy of our lives right now. And it has a beginning and a middle and an end. And so does good stand-up. It has a beginning and a middle. But in good stand-up, you can go, I woke up this morning and I was speaking to my wife. Bang. All right. This has got a thread. So it is theatrical. So I cannot deviate from the script because I'm telling the story. Now, some people laugh in some points more than in other points, so at some point I could turn around and tell the audience, I go, I can see you lived that line, didn't you? Uh-huh. And then we move on. But I have to keep to that
And
script.
You help her really nice. You help her
Yes. So we've got this, I don't want to give it all away, but we needed some technical things to happen on the stage.
Yeah.
Chairs to arrive, you know, all of that stuff. And because it's not a theater, we don't have that much backstage space. So Gina came up with this ingenious way that the stage hands, the people that move your sets and your props, is an actress. And she becomes the next character. She doesn't say a word. But the look on her face every time she has to do something is hilarious. So it's fun. So all the special effects, the smoke machines, the haze, the chairs that get brought on by this very funny Aurelie Stratton. And we have a lot of fun.
I don't know. My wife was asking, who's going to collect the feathers?
Oh, guys, it's don't say any more. Don't say any more. They mustn't know anymore.
What were you going to say, Harry?
The thing is that, so going back to about movies, I love movies and I'm obsessed with movies. And especially now with Netflix, I mean, you've got access to the world. But as a performer, nothing beats live for me.
Yes. What do you think of the standard comedians in South Africa at the moment?
I think they're superb. I think they are superb, and then there's some shitty ones as well. But you know what, in everything. Yeah, according to me. Because I think it's very easy to come up with a good line.
Yes.
All right. It's very easy. How do you deliver it? And how do you live it? All right. Like, I love Loyiso Gola.
Yes.
Because I love his candid, chill style. You know, he's so casual. So the talent exists, absolutely. And we've got some amazing young guys.
Young
guys and girls that are fantastic. But I'm tired of people thinking that if it's from overseas, it's better.
Yeah.
Because we've got it here. You know what I mean?
We don't have much time. I want you just to tell us.
Yes.
Okay. Because we're going to come back. We're going to put something.
Sorry, we talk a lot.
No, we talk a lot. That's why I brought you here. You to talk a lot. Somehow, you know, how terrible it is to interview someone that doesn't talk.
Oh, that you'll never have a problem with. With me, Bach, don't worry about it.
Yeah, the tickle like guy. So what? Yeah. Like a big, like, Simon Parkinson was interviewing Dr. Alban.
Yes.
Ask him a question of 500 words and he answered yes.
Yeah.
Dr. Alban, going back a bit.
No. It was like a couple of months ago. I was still there.
Interesting, because there was a Dr. Alban who came here many years ago.
Dr. Alba.
Alba.
That's the one. Dr. Alba, who came with the singer. The singer. The guy who was a doctor.
Yes, right. The rapper. He was a doctor. And he
it's my life.
That's right.
Now that one. Yeah. Yes, Dr. Alba and Simon. Yes. Yes.
Simon.
Interview
Simon Parkinson.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know Simon is alive. So he's asking. I promise you, a 500-word question. Says him. Yes.
Yeah. You know who's like that? Johnny Depp. Have you ever watched any of his interviews? He is quite. I think he's either spaced.
He's spaced.
I think he's spaced. I think he's definitely taken some
out of his mind.
Some narcotics before going on, and you can't get a word out of him.
Yeah, Xanax.
I love the way I speak as if I've known. Like I know like a first-hand experience. Yeah.
It must be murder for someone like Graham Norton.
Absolutely.
And you don't always know.
And Graham Norton is just a genius.
I know. He once interviewed Meg Ryan.
Yes.
Who was embarrassed him because she didn't say anything.
Did you?
Oh, well, she was terrible. She eventually got up and walked off the set.
Yeah.
Look, I must
she
say,
was hot.
The best.
She was, but she's, whew, have you
she's
seen
second hand now.
She's had too many, she's had too much Botox. I must say, when he interviewed Joan Rivers, oh my God, Joan.
Joan is amazing.
I mean, whether you liked her or hated her, I worship the ground she walks on.
She's
her
amazing.
Lines. And you know what? She did things and continued to do things into her 80s. And I admire
and she
that
was in your face for everything. Right.
She was kicking people at 22 years old. She was taking them and nailing them up against the wall. Going, you are nada.
Yeah,
that's why I love her.
Guys, 9:49. We come back just now. I want you to just listen to this one. I think you're gonna like it. I hope you're gonna like it. So that's silly love songs from another person. So, on top of this song, we're gonna talk because
nice song.
How nice, eh?
Nice arrangement, nice version, Roy.
Yeah. So she's got a show for women only.
Who's got a show for women only?
She's got a show, Helen. Yeah, she's got a show for women only.
She was talking when we were off air. Helen barged into the studio
to hug me,
to hug Harry, whom she had.
Everybody wants to hug him.
He's a nice teddy bear hug.
I'm a teddy bear.
So she's got like her old thing only for women, and
so you can't go.
No, I'm not. I hate women.
He says I'm not interested if it was girls.
Yes,
women. Be careful when you say that in this day and age.
Why?
Because you can get yourself into trouble. When you say girls, be careful.
Oh, that way.
He doesn't.
No, yeah, but I mean, I girls are very different to women. Women are married horrible persons.
Okay, all right.
Why?
Well, I think
after being married for 34 years, it makes me qualified. Makes me qualified.
Roy sleeps with one eye open, you know.
Is that how bad it is?
Yeah, well, friend, if you met my wife, you understand.
So, no, I saw your wife.
She looks nice.
She looks fabulous.
There you go, Roy.
I really appreciate
She
thank
looks
you.
Fabulous.
Thank you. I don't know, what glasses
I
you look.
I think you're a handful.
Me?
Yes.
I'm telling you, can ask my mummy.
Yes.
And she says I'm the best guy ever. Harry, before we're going to go.
Yes, first
of all, I thank you so much for coming into the studio.
Gentlemen.
Really, thank you so much. You've been so great. It's so nice.
I love coming to Chai.
But, please tell us again, when is your next...
So we've got four performances left. Thursday tonight, Friday tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Saturday at 8 o'clock, and Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's the last Father's Day performance. But you can get tickets at quicket.co.za, or you can arrive at the door, and we are selling tickets at the door. It's at the Killarney Country Club. The Crystal Ballroom, you can't miss it. As you drive in, you'll see all the posters. We've transformed it into a full-on theater.
And let me tell you guys, the best show you've been.
8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock every night.
8 o'clock tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock.
All right, great guys. I'm going to say goodbye to you. Good Shabbos to all of you. And for myself, for Moshe, from Peter, and for Mary.
Thank
Harry,
you
thank
guys.
You so much.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Cheers, guys.